because in this industry, as with most industries, there are some professional players out there. And I mean that in a good complimentary way. I mean, people who have been in it, doing this business for decades, and you're going to get eaten up if aren't bringing your A game to the transaction, to the business plan.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm so super excited to introduce our absolutely legend of a guest for the day, Joe Fairless. Joe, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure and grateful to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Absolutely. Well, you're definitely an inspiration for me, as you're one of the first people that I know of to do a daily podcast on real estate. And it's been running for like, I don't know, almost
forever.
A decade now.
Seems like forever.
Yeah, totally. So yes, major inspiration there. And, you know, you are just a huge player in the space, doing so many deals and having scaled in such a big way. So I'd love to start us, our listeners off who might not be familiar with you, with how and why you got into real estate and then moved to syndications.
Sure. How and why I got into real estate. I was making $30,000 as a junior project manager in New York City. I'm originally from Texas, but moved to New York City right out of college. And because of that, I did not have any money to invest, but then kept my living expenses really low, relatively speaking, for New York City. And I saved the money that I was making as I got promoted within my full-time job. I worked at an advertising agency. And as I was able to get promoted and save more money and kept my living expenses relatively low, I was able to afford a down payment for a first house. And I bought that house in Duncanville, Texas, a little bit south of Dallas, Texas. And that was in 2009. I bought it for $76,000. I saved up $20,000 and to buy it. So off I went. I bought three more homes. So I had a total of four homes. And I realized that I was making about $200 a month or so from each of the homes. But then when someone would move out, I ended up paying about $5,000 or so. And that math doesn't work out. So,
oh my God, $5,000 in turnover? Or
yeah, okay. Yeah. Just get
vacancy.
Get the whole thing to be move-in ready, pay a property management company so they can pay contractors a premium to work on the house that's really far away from where I live, since I'm still in New York City and these homes are all in Dallas, Fort Worth. And sometimes there were vacancies, or sometimes it would take a little longer. So I realized that there had to be a better way for actual cash flow. And on top of that, it was an administrative burden for me to keep track of just four homes and the paperwork involved with the four homes. It just seemed like a nuisance.
Yeah.
So I decided to learn about multifamily and specifically buying apartments while I had my full-time job. And then I studied it. I was also teaching a class because on what I was doing, buying the single family homes, because a bunch of my friends in the advertising industry were saying, well, hey, you're buying homes, but I thought you work with us. So how are you able to do this? I heard that enough times. So I started teaching a class on it. And yeah, it was in-person class. I did it once or twice a month. It had about 10 or so people per class attend. And what it did is it opened up the conversation with a couple people, one of my former boss at the time. And he was my boss at a previous company I'd worked at. And he said, well, if you ever do something larger, let me know. Mm-hmm. And I heard that from a couple people. And I thought, well, wait a second, do I have do I have customers before I have a product? I think I do. I think I have customers, investors before I have a product, the actual apartment building. And I knew I was onto a business model that would work. I mean, if you are creating a company and you have demand before you have supply, then you keep creating that company.
Yeah.
There's some good signs there. So I started learning and I bought my first place while, I left the advertising industry in December of 2012 and bought my first apartment community in July of 2013.
Okay, awesome. And I mean, it's just such a journey since then, I'm sure. So what was it about those? Did those people come on as your investors right away? How did you do that first apartment deal?
Oh, it was incredibly challenging. I started the process of looking for apartments thinking I would be able to raise $300,000. Therefore, I was looking for a $1 million apartment community where I could raise about $300,000 to $400,000 and purchase a property. There is some flawed thought process there because you'll notice I didn't mention any money for CapEx or any money for an operating budget or contingency fund. I had a mentor, but turns out the mentor wasn't good as I would have hoped the mentor to be. And I wasn't asking the right questions too. I mean, ultimately all roads lead back to me. I'm the common denominator. So I had some flawed logic going into it. And my mentor at the time actually said, well, hey, there's another apartment building and you should take a look at it. And they might be able to get creative on the financing, which was great for me because I didn't have the net worth or liquidity or experience to get approved for a loan of that size. I'd have to bring someone else on. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, I don't have a rich family member who would be able to do that or anyone with experience at the time. So I ended up looking at that apartment building and it went from being a $400,000 raise, which is a little bit more than I thought I could do. But I thought, you know what, I'll grow into that. And as we got in further into negotiations, it created a financing change and ended up being a down payment that was required of approximately $1.2 million.
Oh, man.
And I thought, oh, man, yeah, that's a lot more than what I thought I could do. But yeah, I was determined to make it happen. I knew there had to be a way. So one thing I did is, and I didn't come up with this idea, the broker and my mentor did. It turns out my mentor ended up being a broker on the deal and he suggested that he put in his commissions into the deal to then get equity in the deal and basically have some of that fee be credited towards the down payment, which was good with me. So that knocked out about $300,000 of it, $300,000 to $400,000. And I also ended up raising $843,000 from 12 investors who I knew. And one of them brought about a little over $300,000. And the rest of them, you know, a couple of them brought $100,000 and the rest of them brought about $25,000 or $50,000 a pop. And that made up the crew of the first deal. And it was incredibly challenging. But, you know, what I realized is that it's important to identify different circles of connections that we have with people or different peer groups that we have. So a couple people came from me being on the alumni advisory board for Texas Tech University. A couple people came from my flag football team in New York City. A couple people came from where I was employed or used to be employed, two college roommates. So it's just, you know, different places that I came across or different networks in my life and I was able to cobble that together.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's so much to that story that you just shared. Just number one, like all the things that had to come together in order to even start to do this deal and just the mounting hurdles, like as the equity raise kind of increased and, you know, you recruited your mentor and so many people from different areas of your life. I mean, I think that's a big part of it is that the determination to actually get that first deal done. And I mean, obviously that's just the first deal and you've done a lot since then, but it gives a really good picture of just how the level of commitment that's needed to make something happen. It's something that you speak to a lot in terms of the mindset. Were you actively working on your mindset back then?
Absolutely. I was a student of personal development, Jim Rohn, Tony Robbins, Les Brown, Zig Ziglar, the whole crew. And it was a staple in my life.
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-cap.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Were you doing that back when you were at the advertising firm?
No. Okay. It was right after I got out of advertising. I watched a TED Talk video with Tony Robbins, somehow came across it. Then I went down the rabbit hole on YouTube of all of his videos. And then I, went from there.
Yeah, for sure. And, I know this might be kind of hard to encapsulate, but what do you feel like that going down that rabbit hole has kind of given you in terms of helping you grow your real estate syndication business?
Well, I've always had the thought process and the confidence that there's a solution to anything. I've just got to figure it out. I mean, I've had that thought process since I can remember. But what this did is, with that thought process, it gave me the confidence that if I can identify people who have gone before me, how they've had success, then I can recreate something similar to that by taking similar action. Or if I want to do it even bigger, then take massive action like Tony Robbins talks about. And so that's why, I started out with a podcast, and it was it was sporadic, every 2 or 3 days. And then after about 6 or 7 episodes and a month and a half, I was like, you know what? I have no idea if this is a good use of my time or not. I need to do it daily, every single day, and I'll do it for the rest of the year, which is about 2.5 months. And then I'll reevaluate. And sure enough, after that, after 2.5 months, I said, oh, this is definitely going to be worth it. I'm going to keep doing it. And I'm just going to do, no crazy person in the real estate world, as far as I'm aware of, was doing a daily real estate investing podcast before I did it. And
totally.
So, I thought, I'm just going to do it daily. I'm going to try and catch up to people who have been doing it longer, because I'm going to learn a lot by interviewing guests and, building those relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know how you came up with that idea to just start doing it daily, but it seems like it worked. It was brilliant, and it really helped you kind of gain traction.
Well, bravo to you too for doing yours daily. That's impressive.
Thanks. Yeah. Most people think it's crazy, and myself included. So,
Well, it is, but you do crazy stuff and you get results that most people don't get because you are crazy like that.
Yeah, totally. So, one thing I wanted to circle back on was why you decided to focus on real estate. What was compelling to you about it when you were, as opposed to the other sort of side hustles or wealth building strategies that you were looking at when you were at the advertising studio?
I focused on it because it made sense. I read the book Investing for, it made sense for me. I read the book Investing for Dummies. It talks about, or they write about stocks, bonds, investing in startups and real estate. And it just made, I was just more familiar with real estate. So I just started doing that.
I love that you started with the Investing for Dummies books. I think that those are great books, and I've looked at them for a variety of different things. And so that's really awesome. Okay. So, you've obviously scaled your business. Can you just give the listeners an idea of like what you've scaled your business to?
Yeah. I'm the co-founder of Ashcroft Capital. We have over $1.5 billion worth of apartment communities with our private high net worth investors.
Yeah, which is just an incredible portfolio to build over the last decade or so. I know one of the things that you do well is build relationships with passive investors. Can you talk about what it is that helps you create those trusting relationships on such large scale?
Sure. Yeah. Let's go back to the very first deal that you're asking me about. Yeah. 12 investors, $843,000 plus the brokers put in their commission, but I really had those 12 investors. And you talked about the determination that it took to get to that the finish line to close the deal. Well, guess what? The deal lost money. And it was my very first deal right out of the gate, and it lost money. And I had 12 challenging conversations with each of those, or I had one challenging conversation, or some of them multiple, with those 12 investors. And what I told them is that this is when we were selling the deal for a loss. I said, I will pay you back. Plus I will pay you 14% annualized return out of my own pocket. I don't know how long it will take, but I will pay you whatever I can every single month until I make that happen. And I did. I paid each of those investors back their original investment plus a 14% annualized return. And it took me about, a year and a half, maybe two years, but I paid them whatever I could every single month. And just who I am. It had nothing to do with wanting to build a long-term relationship with people. It's just doing the right thing. So that's the approach that I take with relationships. You know, Matthew McConaughey has a commencement address, and one of the things he mentions in the commencement address, it's a great video on YouTube, is don't leave crumbs. And what he means by that is you don't do things in your life where you have to look over your shoulder and hope that it doesn't catch up with you. It's just a terrible way to live. Yeah. So, you know, that's my approach now. Yeah. Those investors, and most of them have invested multiple times, and one of them has invested over 20 times with us. So it's that type of mentality. And, you know, one thing, so from a passive investor standpoint, one thing I suggest when you're speaking to an operator, ask him or her, which investors do you have that invest with you who you've known the longest? Because that will give you an idea of how far back does that operator go in their life where they've built relationships for decades, and those individuals know the operator better than anyone. I mean, maybe they knew him in high school, middle school, and college, in the previous career, whatever. And it's not just who they are now, but it's who they've shown up as throughout their entire life over decades. That's a really illuminating question, because you're going to learn a lot about how that operator has conducted themselves in different stops of life they've had up until this point.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah, that's a really interesting point, because I mean, I've also heard it say like, well, if you ask for references, and of course they're going to give you
Ask those references, right?
Yeah, but yeah, they're going to give you their friends, right?
Right. And so then you ask those references for references, and then you ask those references for references, and eventually you get to some candid conversation.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, no, I think that's a really important point, though. And I mean, I feel like for me in my journey, the people who've invested with me first were people who'd known me for 10 years or more. And I think that was actually necessary, knowing me over the last 10 years, to invest in like this new thing that I was doing that they didn't really know a lot about. So yeah. And okay, let's talk about scale now, because I mean, well, that's obviously one amazing, you know, also coming back from that first deal, that's probably an amazing story. I mean, how did you come back from that? Like what did you need to do to sort of do the next deal and make it work?
Well, I need to look in the mirror and be honest with myself. What the heck am I good at? What am I not good at? What am I average at as it relates to the industry? Because in this industry, as with most industries, there are some professional players out there. And I mean that in a good complimentary way. I mean, people who have been in it, doing this business for decades, and you're going to get eaten up if aren't bringing your A game to the transaction, to the business plan. So I realized that, hey, there are three components to this business. You got to have the money, got to have the deal, and got to be able to execute on the deal. And I'm pretty good at the money and building relationships. I am average at getting deals, and I'm average to below average at the execution part. So I need to find a business partner or some team members to make sure that I'm running on all cylinders. And so I was introduced to my current business partner, and he is phenomenal at the execution and finding the deal part. And so off we went. And so it's really just an assessment of your skill sets, looking yourself in the mirror.
For sure. Yeah. Was that like a tough moment? Was it just something that had to be done in order to make progress? Like, what was that like from a mental standpoint?
From a mental standpoint, it's just, you know, it goes back to the personal development. I had a coach, and still do, through the Tony Robbins program, Trevor McGregor, and you know, he's been with me before I purchased the first apartment building. So, you know, it's just having the right people in your ear, helping you with the psychology part of it. And then just knowing, hey, it's just a matter of finding the right way to execute on the plan.
Yes. I mean, and I think there's just, that's just such an important point. Like in order to get to the level that you have, you've clearly been like seeking out coaching and mentors and mindset work the whole time. And Trevor's, we've had Trevor on the call. We love, I mean, on this show, he's someone who I also, I mean, it's just so critical. So important for coming back from, you know, a difficult time or challenge or obstacle or failure, whatever you want to call it, to access those resources and be able to actually use it as a launching point rather than something that's like, and actually you probably learned so much from that and it probably helped shape who you became in this space.
Yeah. And you know, it's not like I was trying to create the next Facebook where didn't do well. And I wanted to go create a different type of Facebook, but talk, you know, think about it differently. I wasn't doing that. I was simply wanting to do a business model that's been around a long time. And I did it poorly right out of the gate. So there's a playbook for how to do it correctly. And I just needed to get people who had written the playbook or could write the playbook to be on my team. And that's it. Because once I was able to do that, then you know, things came together. So from a psychological standpoint, how do I reconcile having lost a bunch of money that I hadn't even made yet and being in the hole? Well, I knew, okay, the model works, but my way of operating the model did not. So now let me just find some different ways to operate this model that has worked for many other people. And then, you know, I did that and off we went.
That makes a lot of sense. And it's, I mean, it's one of the reasons why I love real estate too, is because it's not rocket science. It's actually, you know, on some levels, it's kind of just mundane, like what you actually have to do. But yes, mm-hmm. It's not rocket science, but it's predictable, stable, and can produce like astronomical results. So really good point. Thank you so much, Joe, for coming on the show and sharing with us about your journey and your origin story and, you know, just value your perspective on this business so much. Please share with the listeners how they can learn more about you and anything else you want to share.
You can go to ashcroftcapital.com, and I'm grateful to be on here. Thanks so much for inviting me, and just impressed with your podcast and the growth that you've had as well. And so thank you for sharing your message and the interviews that you do with everyone.
Oh, thanks so much, Joe. Really appreciate that. Well, I hope you all take some time to check out Ashcroft Capital. They have amazing offerings. Thank you so much, Joe, for coming on the show. We'll see you next time.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.